Irene and I moved to the Philippines in 2003. I was a seminary professor, and Irene did couples counseling for the expat community in Manila. Now, the expat community was made up mostly of business people, of diplomats from all sorts of different countries, and development workers. One person we met at a party once even confessed to being a CIA agent sent to the Philippines to make friendly local contacts just in case the American military ever had to drop by. And this crowd of expats was also full of cross-cultural couples. Going to expat schools as you grow up, going to expat clubs as you live there, going to embassy receptions, brought people from all over the world together, and not surprisingly, they paired off Scandinavians with West Africans, Filipinos with Syrians, every imaginable combination. So that's no surprise in a community like that. Now, eventually, some of these multi-ethnic couples also came to Irene's office. These couples, they had the same hopes and dreams, challenges and problems that most other couples do. After working with a number of multi-ethnic couples and after reading all the literature that she could put her hands on, Irene did discover that one quality of a healthy relationship really stood out as being essential for multi-ethnic couples if they were going to live happily ever after. And that one quality was curiosity. If you are part of a multi-ethnic couple, curiosity helps attach you to each other. Curiosity about each other's country of birth, curiosity about each other's family of origin and its story, curiosity about language and culture and geography and gender roles, and on, endless curiosity. Of course, curiosity about your partner is essential for all relationships, but even more so when your partner has a very different background than you, comes from a strange place compared to you. As God was strange to Moses, an unlikely pairing if there ever was one. Curiosity plays a role in the Bible story that we read today. In our scripture for today, God uses Moses' curiosity to draw Moses in and to hold him tight. First, God uses curiosity to draw Moses in. In our scripture for today, Moses is herding sheep. It's sort of sad, actually. Moses had once been a prince of Egypt, which is pretty fancy. He was living the life of Riley, and he was probably headed for his own little pyramid upon death. A really important guy. But Moses killed a man. It was a bad man, to be sure. But even back then, vigilantism wasn't smart. And so Moses had to run for his life, and the best he could do after he ran away from Egypt was find a job herding sheep in the desert. And one day, Moses is out there in the desert, and he sees a burning bush. Strange. Not impossible. Someone might have left a campfire unattended. But after watching for a while, what was surpassing strange was that this bush didn't stop burning. it was almost as if it was plugged into a propane tank, if they had those things back then. So Moses turns and he says, I have to see this great sight, and I have to figure out why this bush is not burned up. Wow. He is curious. He wants to know more. Moses' curiosity here is like the wondering, listen for it, the wondering of the wandering hunters in the Huron Carol that we're going to sing about. Like they were wondering before they turned aside to the Burke Barch Lodge. Mark was wondering if I could fit that in the sermon. How was that? And there's the stone canoe that the peacemaker comes to the Six Nations with, to the Iroquois people with. And that raises curiosity too, because why doesn't a stone canoe sink? And so right away, all the people are paying attention to the peacemaker. And when Moses finally comes upon the bush, a voice says, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Okay, so Moses does that, and then a voice from the bush says, listen, my people are suffering. Go tell Pharaoh to let them go. Well, that's interesting too, especially because Moses is curious about one thing. He wants to know, who in the world is sending me on this impossible mission? So after his initial curiosity pulls him to the burning bush, a more profound curiosity seizes Moses, and he asks that voice in the burning bush, what's your name? Who are you? And according to this story, the voice in the bush says, Yahweh. And now this is a curious answer, one that Jews and Christians, theologians and linguists have puzzled over ever since. It might mean something like, I am. Or it might mean, I am whoever. Or it might mean something like, I am on my way. Or it might mean nothing at all and just sound nice. The divine name is a mystery. So right there, at the beginning of Israel's history and all of Western religion, God uses a riddle to attach whoever to us. And curiosity about the answer to that riddle, who is God anyway? Curiosity is one of the strings that has attached us to Yahweh ever since. Who is God anyway? So what drew the Jewish people into the arms of Yahweh? It wasn't fear of hell. They didn't believe in it. Not hope for heaven. They didn't know about it. Not even faith that Moses could actually get them out of Egypt, because none of them believed that Moses could. No, when all else seemed silly or hopeless or unknowable, what first drew the Jews into their impossible liberation from slavery that they have forever since celebrated, what drew them into that was a name that they could not understand but were curious about forever after. Now, I started by saying that curiosity is necessary for cross-cultural marriages to work. And then I went on to say that curiosity was one of the things that drew Moses to God at the burning bush, and that curiosity about who God really was is at the root of all Western religion, really. Curiosity is a spiritual gift and discipline. But I want to say something more. As Canadians who share this land with other more ancient nations by far, we are still in dire need of curiosity. How so? Well, we as Canadians and as Christians, we need to be curious about our neighbors if we are going to know best how to love them or be loved by them. Just as two people in a relationship have to be curious about each other to make it a loving relationship, and just as we have to be curious about who God is if we're going to learn to live like the Jews did as free people, just so altogether we need to cultivate a deeply rooted spiritual curiosity about our neighbors if we're going to figure out how to love those neighbors. And the neighbors I'm talking about today, of course, are our First Nations neighbors, which gets me to the heart of this morning's message. At the urging of Kenny Kirkwood, I asked Father Norman Casey, a Mi'kmaq, that's from the East Coast, a Mi'kmaq Anglican priest serving with the Six Nations in Grand River Territory near Brantford. I asked Father Norman Casey to preach here today. It only made sense to ask Father Casey. He's a well-known and deeply respected spokesperson for all of Canada's First Nations. He's a warm and interesting personality, beloved. He's a prophet. He seemed to me to be a great choice to speak here today, so I asked him some time ago, but Father Casey declined my invitation. You see, before he comes, he wants to know whether or not we as a congregation are really curious about the First Nations. Because many Canadians are not. Many Canadians, in fact, and with some shame I include myself in this number sometimes, but many Canadians are tired of hearing about First Nations in the news, about their land claims. We're tired of with the reconciliation process. We're tired of all their school troubles, all their water troubles, the Highway of Tears, the residential schools, the youth suicide. We're tired of all that stuff. And so we stop paying attention, skip over those stories in the newspaper. And instead, we choose to believe myths about our First Nations people. Perhaps the most common source of those myths being, of all places, Hollywood. So Thomas King, a First Nations writer from Canada, he writes a book entitled Inconvenient Indian, a curious account, he says, of Native people in North America. And in that book, he says, the sad truth is that within the public sphere, within the collective consciousness of all of us, of the general population, most of the history of Indians in North America has been forgotten. Like, how many of us ever thought that the Six Nations history is six times longer than Canadian history? Anyways, most of the history of the Indians in North America has been forgotten, and what we are left with are a series of artifacts and more importantly, entertainment. And as a series of entertainments, Native history is an imaginative cobbling together of our fears and loathings, romances and reverences, facts and fantasies into a cycle of creative performances in Technicolor, sometimes in 3D, with soft drinks and candy and popcorn. That's where, in the popular imagination at least, we find First Nations, Indians, as Thomas King calls himself. Now, at first, I was disappointed that Father Casey didn't want to visit till we visited him. I mean, somebody has to go first, right? If this is going to work. But as successful, mostly middle class or better Canadians, as Christians committed to loving our neighbors, we say so every Sunday, as people who might not have asked for the white privilege that most of us enjoy, and most of us mostly understand what it is, And as people who know something about holy curiosity from Moses and other places in Scripture, I think we should take Father Casey's invitation very seriously. And we should visit him at the Six Nations Reservation in Brantford to help us get beyond the cobbling together of our fears and loathing our romances and fantasies about the First Nations. We should visit the Six Nations Reservation in Brantford to satisfy the same holy curiosity that drew Moses to the burning bush and the people of Israel to Yahweh. We're actually setting it up. In fact, already this spring, our youth are going to go on a retreat to the reservation to begin the getting to know you process. And then this fall, on a Saturday, in late September or early October, we're working on the date now, we will exercise our curiosity by taking a busload of Lawrence Park members of all ages to the Six Nations Reservation to see their church, to see their museum, to eat together, and to learn more about First Nations history and culture from them, rather than from a history book. The best part of this kind of curiosity is that it will be both fascinating and fun to go, and we will come home wiser and, I think, a bit more attached to this ancient people who've been here so much longer than we have. And on the Sunday following, we'll get Reverend Casey to preach to us, which will satisfy our curiosity and perhaps give us insight in how to be loved and in how to love these people, not merely the First Nations people, but our first neighbors too. Amen.